Well, I'm going to get into my message this morning. We've been in a series on the Beatitudes, not the Beatitudes, as some have asked me, or the Beatitudes. Beatitude comes from the Latin word beati, which just means happy or blessed. And as we've said, there are over 80 Beatitudes that we come across in the entire Bible. However, these eight that we've been focused on in this series are the ones recorded by Matthew from Jesus in his teaching on the Sermon on the Mount. And we've looked at the progression of some of these, because there is a progression through humility and just spiritual poverty, a hunger and thirst for righteousness, all of these things that we've been studying over the last few weeks. But we're going to continue today in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7. Real simple, just this next beatitude, it says this: God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. All right, I want to read that again. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. So one of the things I love to do when I'm studying in Scripture is to really get an understanding on backgrounds of things, and that's what I love to share with you guys as well. When we hear the word mercy, we actually have a slightly different understanding of what that word meant in biblical terms. So we need to start with that question. What does it mean to be merciful? Okay, what is the meaning behind what these biblical authors were saying to a biblical audience and trying to describe? Because I think for us, mercy is simply just forgiveness, right? Forgiveness for somebody who did something wrong. However, the original Greek word here, and I'll give you the Greek so that you can impress your friends, is eleemon, and it means this: being concerned about people in their need. Being concerned about people and their needs. So if we put this translation or this definition into the translation, it would be to say, God blesses those who are concerned about people in their need, for they will be cared for in their need. This is where mercy is tied together. And we're going to unpack this a little bit through Scripture this morning. But there's an idea that comes out in this, in mercy, that we need to understand. We talked a little bit about it last week as a point of emphasis when we talked about righteousness and the difference between righteousness and self-righteousness, right? And simply it's this understanding. No matter how good you think you are, how many of you realize we still need Jesus? Right? We still need Jesus. And so we need to understand what that looks like. And so I want to show you what Matthew wrote in his book about his own calling to ministry, okay? And so we see this in Matthew chapter 9, an event that takes place in which we see mercy kind of in the forefront here of what's happening. And so Matthew 9, verses 9 through 13, here's what it says. Jesus was walking along, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth, all right? Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Matthew got up and followed him. Later, Matthew invited Jesus and his disciples to his home as dinner guests, along with many tax collectors, and other disreputable sinners. But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such scum? How would you like to be on the other side of that question, right? You're at somebody's house and somebody's like, who invited that scum? Thank you. When Jesus heard this, he said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Then he added, now go and learn the meaning of this scripture. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. For I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners. Now, again, we talked about this a little bit last week, that concept of self-righteousness. But when it comes to the word mercy, I think there's something that we really need to understand, is that we all need it. You know, and here's why. If you will, this is kind of something I uncovered in my own study this week, and it kind of hit me as I was studying this. We don't often fully comprehend just how offensive our sin is to God. Right? Because as we said last week, we have like a hierarchy of sin. We're like, well, there's this one that's like down here. And then we have the woe Nellies, right? We don't like woe Nellies, okay? Somebody stopped me after service and they said they had a picture after first service. They were like, imagine if it was hair in your food. Would it be worse if it was one hair or five hairs? Either way, I don't want to eat it because guess what? I know it wasn't mine. That's not funny. It's really, like, for some of you, you're like, maybe that's mine. I don't have that as an option, okay? It wasn't mine.
It's still hair.
It's still hair, yeah. So here's the thing. We can lose sight of the fact that we are in need of mercy. And when we lose sight of that need for mercy, we also start to lose sight of the fact that others need it as well. Look at these Pharisees, and these are the religious elite that Jesus is talking to. They became so full of themselves in their own self-righteousness that they're looking at the disreputable sinners of the world and calling them scum and saying, how can we associate with such scum? And then Jesus says, listen, guys, these are the very people that I came for. This is my ministry. This is to whom I have been sent. Because, and he says it's not the healthy who need a doctor, right? But really, what's he saying? It's not those who have no need for mercy who I'm coming to. It's those who really need mercy. You know, and I think about this too, and kind of to juxtapose these two ideas. How many of you would agree God is just? Right? God is just, meaning he is filled with justice. Go with me on this, all right? If God is just, isn't it just of him to punish us for our sin? Wouldn't it be just of him to even allow us to be punished eternally for our sin? We did it, right? He didn't do it. That would be just. But here's the awesome part about God. Not only is he just, he's merciful. And I'm so grateful for that. Because if it wasn't for God's mercy, none of us, and I mean none of us, would stand a chance of having a relationship with God. And so this is the part that we need to understand, because then Jesus says, God blesses those who are merciful, because there's the ones who are going to be shown mercy. And we have to ask ourselves, like, do I need mercy? Do I still realize my own need for mercy from God? Do I still, you know, we talked about last week, you know, the man who was the disreputable sinner who wouldn't even look to heaven but beat his chest and said, woe is me, I'm a sinner, I don't deserve God. Do we realize that in our own lives, that we are still so desperately in need of mercy from God? Because when we do realize that, it oftentimes takes us to the place of realizing, if I need it and someone else needs it and I've benefited from receiving it, then I also want to give it to others. How many of you have ever benefited from somebody else's mercy? I mean, come on, are you married? Marriage requires some mercy. I mean, yeah. Right? I've had to be very merciful to Jess over the... No, I'm just kidding. Let's not go there. It requires mercy, right? Because even in marriage, when we're trying to be kind to each other, we still hurt each other. It's not always easy, and we still have to show each other mercy. How much more difficult when we're dealing with people who we're not as close with, that are not so important to us. In fact, Jesus speaks to this as well, and I want to show you this in Luke chapter 6. Jesus literally goes out to explain, he's like, there's a difference between these values that you think you have and what they actually are. And so he says this in Luke chapter 6, verses 31 to 38. And you've probably heard some of this before, but he starts with this. It's what we call the golden rule, right? Do to others as you would like them to do to you. Right? In the vein of mercy, how many of you are like, if I ever mess up, I want people to be merciful to me? Now, he says, do that to others if that's what you want them to do to you. And then he says this. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. Listen to this. This goes deep here. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Then he goes on to say this. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. I don't know. This does not sound like a solid financial plan. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High. For he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it's going to come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make more room, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Ooh. Now, I know there are a couple things in here that we can see plainly, but I want to make sure that we're not missing some of these, all right? Basically, he's saying there are unmerciful acts and merciful acts. Let's look at some of the unmerciful acts that he starts with. He starts with, loving the lovable is not love. Right? You ever meet somebody that's just easy to love? Like your pastor? What an easy guy to love. You ever meet somebody who's really difficult to love? Like your pastor? Right? Jesus starts off by saying, listen, you overflowing with love with people who are easy to love is not love. It's not love until you have to love somebody who's difficult. When you have to love somebody who it hurts to love, that's when it's love. Then he goes on. Goodness towards good people is not actually good. He's like, guys, look, sinners do that. You're not taking the next level of being a follower of Christ and acting like Jesus when you just do good to good people. Sinners do that. He goes, are you willing to be good to people who are going to be cruel to you? Are you willing to be good to people who won't respect it or won't appreciate it, right? Are you willing to do that kind of good? Then he says this, lending with security is not generosity. He's like, if you're giving a loan to somebody and saying, okay, I'll give you this $50, but I'm holding your cat until I get repaid. First of all, I don't want your cat. I don't even like my own. But the Bible talks about this, says don't even take somebody's cloak, like their jacket, in security. Like, that's not generous. You know, what did he say? We read it a moment ago. He says, love your enemies and do good to them. Then goes as far as to say something that is outlandish to us. Give them money without even being expected to be repaid. Here's what he's trying to point to. Like, these are these unmerciful acts. Now, then there are merciful acts. Here's what he says. Loving your enemies is love. Goodness without a return is good. Kindness to the wicked and unthankful, that's kind. Now, come on, how many of you have ever been there before? You know, we do something nice for somebody, and you kind of expect them to be grateful, right? I'm not asking for much, but, you know, just a thank you would be nice. I get this way when I'm driving. You know, when I've done something so merciful as let somebody else merge, I'm just expecting a little wave, you know, like a hey, thanks, kind of thing. No wave? I'm like, what a jerk. What a jerk. Now, how often do we get into this place, though? Because we're like, well, I want to do something good. And we'll build it up like, hey, you know, I did this thing for you. No thanks is needed unless you want to. But here's what it says. Like, kindness to the wicked and the unthankful, that's kind. For people who are not going to say thank you, who are not going to appreciate it, who don't deserve it, that's kind. Compassion for those deserving punishment, that's godly. Like, this is what Jesus is speaking to in Luke chapter 6, and what he's pointing to is ultimately this, that mercy is an act of generosity. Think about it. How generous was it of God to be merciful to us? I know I say generosity, and we immediately think of money, right? And money applies, absolutely. How you are generous with your money does apply. We'll get to that in just a second. But mercy is an act of generosity. Here's what it entails. It is giving to someone what they do not deserve and cannot repay. Exactly what Christ did for us. He gave to us in a way to give us something, the mercy of God, relationship with God, right standing with God, gave us something that we could not deserve and we cannot repay. And then, when we get it, as we talked about last week, sometimes we become a little full of ourselves. Well, I am saved, and I'm not like those disreputable sinners over there, and I'm not like this. I only do the little sins, not the woe nellies. But the reality is that we are all still in need of mercy. As we said last week, Romans 3:23 reminds us, we all sin and fall short of God's glorious standards. Mercy is an act of generosity. Caring about the needs of someone else, caring about someone's need who cannot repay you and does not deserve it, that's merciful. And then Jesus ties that together by saying, God blesses those who are merciful because they're the ones who are going to be shown mercy. Now, I think it's really interesting that we get into this whole section where he's like, when you give, understand that the measure with which you give is the same measure that's going to be returned to you. And he uses this phrase, and I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but it's like pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And it's like, what does that mean? Well, picture in this time of the Bible, right, somebody who brings a container to be filled with like wheat or some kind of, you know, vegetables, whatever. Someone could take it and they pour it in and it's full. And he says, now I'm not going to just do that. I want to take that full container and I'm going to beat it on the ground and I'm going to shake it to make sure that it goes down lower. And then I'm going to fill it again to make sure that you got the max. I'm not going to stop there though. I'm going to put so much in there that it's going to overflow the sides and spill out onto your lap. This is pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. And God says, this is the way that I will bless you. If you are generous to others and giving to them, what's going to come back to you is not just going to be the bare minimum, but it's going to be pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing in your life. Now think about this for a second. There are some of these things that he talks to that are really easy to make connections to and some that may be a little harder. But I will go as far as to say this. If you are a person who struggles to believe your own forgiveness in your life, there's a pretty good chance it's tied to the fact that you're struggling to forgive somebody else. If you are a person who thinks that nobody cares about your needs, doesn't care about what's going on in you, there's a good chance that you're not caring for people in that way. If you feel as though you are constantly broke or in need of money, there's probably a really good chance that you're not being generous with your money towards others. Jesus connects these realities and he says there's a relationship, a direct correlation between them, that if you are withholding from someone else, these things will be withheld from you. So then we go back to the words of Jesus in this beatitude. He says, if you need mercy, it starts with being merciful. It doesn't end with God's been merciful to me. It has to become, I become then a conduit of the mercy of God to the rest of the people around me. First of all, understanding what God did for me was to give me something I cannot repay and did not deserve. And then he's asking me to go into the world and give to those around me what they cannot repay and do not deserve. He says, that's mercy. Here's the problem. So often we get hung up and categorize people as deserving, undeserving, able to love, able to forgive, able to, and then unable to, unable to, unable to. And every time we do that, the point that Jesus is making, he says, we actually stop up God's mercy in our own lives by refusing to be merciful to others. Proverbs 11:17 says it this way, your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. Think about that. Jesus is making the statement like, give to your enemies without expecting repayment. And then Proverbs is saying, that's a reward for you. Right? I know we tell ourselves, oh, I guess that's that crowns in heaven thing, right? No, it's a reward to you because God's building a heart of generosity and mercy inside of you. And when that heart becomes fully developed, it is a blessing in your own life that you're not waiting there for the next person to say thank you. You're not waiting there for the next return. You're just in obedience saying, I just want to be a person of mercy because God has been merciful to me. I want to go back to what Jesus said in Luke chapter 6. He's frustrated with the Pharisees and he tells them, I want you to go find the meaning of this verse. And the verse that he quotes is actually from Hosea chapter 6. I'm going to read it for you in just a second. He says, I want you to go study this because there's something you're missing. And he tells him, he goes, I desire mercy, not sacrifices. Right? Now, at face value, we're like, what's he saying? This is not about religion. Because this was still during the time when Israel was in a sacrificial system. I don't want sacrifices. I want mercy. So I want to show you this in Hosea chapter 6. And here's what he says. What God is speaking through Hosea to Israel at this point in time. He says this, O Israel and Judah, what should I do with you? Asks the Lord. For your love, your mercy, vanishes like the morning mist and disappears like dew in the sunlight. I sent my prophets to cut you to pieces, to slaughter you with my words, with judgments as inescapable as light. I want you to show love, not offer sacrifices. I want you to know me more than I want burnt offerings. But like Adam, you broke my covenant and you betrayed my trust. I want to give you a little background on this guy, Hosea. Hosea is a prophet. He's tasked to go and tell Israel how God feels about their betrayal. They've been worshiping false gods. They've been following the customs of other religions and cultures, and they've just like forgotten all the things that God has done for them. So God calls Hosea, and he's like, Hosea, you're going to be my mouthpiece to Israel, but to prepare you for your ministry, I need you to do something inexplicable. He tells Hosea, and you can read this in Hosea chapter 1, he says, I want you to go marry a prostitute. I want you to marry an unfaithful woman that you will not know if she'll be faithful to you. I want you to build a family with her. I want you to love her, even though she did not save herself for you, even though she may not be faithful to you. Hosea, I want you to go marry a prostitute. Now, why would God say that? Because then he turns to Hosea and he says, this is how I feel about my people. They've been unfaithful to me. I have loved them and lavished them with my love. I have done so much for them and blessed them in so many ways, yet they just refuse to be faithful to me. And he says, if I could just be honest with you, I'm tired of sacrifices. I'm sick of people who come into the temple and they want to offer 55 bulls and 25 rams and 35 doves, and they want to throw that all on the altar, and they've checked it off. They did the thing. Because I don't want it. I want love. I want people to know me more than I want burnt offerings. Fast forward. Jesus, who's encountering these Pharisees so full of themselves, so religious. And he says to them, guys, you better go back and study what God said through Hosea. Because this is not about you checking off personal boxes of you're doing the right things and have the right things and the right titles and positions and everything else. God says he wants mercy. He wants love. I don't need the religious stuff. You know, I think if God could say it today, it'd be like, you know, hey, I'm not into all the songs that you sing. I want your heart. I don't care how many church services you go to. I want your heart. I don't care how many scriptures you can memorize. I want your heart. I don't care if you give 90% of your income. I want your heart. I don't care if you volunteer at the local shelters and do. I want your heart. And listen, there's nothing about any of those things is bad, right? God's not saying, well, I don't want you to go to church and I don't want you to give and I don't want you to volunteer. No, he's saying you can do all of those things and still be void of mercy, void of love. And he goes, I want relationship with you. Here's the truth. Mercy comes with a great cost. It cost the blood of Jesus for us to be given mercy. For God to give us something we couldn't repay and couldn't deserve, he had to give the blood of his one and only son. And then, do you know what we do in return sometimes? We get a little more pharisaical than we'd like to admit. We forget, oh, that little thing that I did, that's not a big deal. Please hear me. It offends the heart of God. But he's not only just, he's merciful. And he says, I'll be merciful to you in your wickedness. I'll be merciful to you in the ways that you've sinned against me. I'll be merciful to you in the things that you've done because I want relationship with you. I want to know you and be known by you. Then he connects all of that together. And he says, I don't just want love between you and me. I want love between all of you. I don't just want mercy between you and me. I want mercy to surround all of you. I want you to be good to my kids. I want you to show them kindness. You know, sometimes our kids don't act the way we would want them to. God says, I've got some of those. I've got some kids that don't act the way that I want them to. Will you love them for me? I've got kids who say and do things that I wish they wouldn't do, who've turned their backs on me, who have run as far away from me as they possibly can. Will you do me a favor and will you love them? Will you be my mercy to them? Will you show them my love and my kindness? Will you be compassionate to them, even when they don't deserve it? I know they don't deserve it. I know they can't repay it. I know they can't give back to you what you're going to give for them. But I also know they need it. That's my kid and I love them. Will you love them for me? And Jesus says, yeah, that's going to come at a cost. Being merciful to those who don't deserve mercy, who can't repay your mercy, it's going to come at a cost. But it's what God was willing to pay for relationship with us. And he says, if you're willing to do the same, then I can be merciful to you. Jesus said it. God blesses those who are merciful. They are the ones who are going to receive mercy. Pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. But if we withhold it, if we stop it up and say, no, that one, they don't deserve it. They've wronged me too many times. That one, they don't deserve, nope, they did something too terrible. They hurt my wife. I will never forgive them for that. They hurt my son. They hurt my daughter. I will never forgive them for that. Mercy. Mercy. And I was talking to somebody else after first service who's been through a lot in their life, and they said, I have forgiven, but there are days I still wake up in unforgiveness. That's true. I'd love to tell you that forgiving people for what they've done to you is something that you just have to do one time. But you may wake up tomorrow and hurt again, and you'll have to decide one more time, oh, God, help me forgive them. Help me forgive them. Help me be generous to them. Help me be kind. It's not a one and done thing, but it is the way that we receive mercy from God, is to be merciful on his behalf. I want to ask you, if you're here today, and I know it, we all go through different things in our lives. There's not one person in this room who has made it this far in life and not been hurt by someone, somewhere, somehow. We've all experienced it. But I also know the other side of that coin. There's not one person in this room who's made it this far without hurting others. I've hurt people. You've hurt people. Sometimes we've hurt each other. And the only thing that keeps us going in the right direction and bound together is love and mercy and compassion and grace and forgiveness. And if you're here today, and as I'm sharing this, you know, I know the Holy Spirit does this because he's done it to me so many times. There's a name. Comes right into your head. You know exactly who this person is, and you just, it grates on you to even think of being merciful to them. Or you see a face, and you immediately want to punch dance your rage. Why would I be merciful to this person? That's the Holy Spirit. Why is he bringing that up? Because God cares about being merciful to you. And he says, if you won't be merciful to them, I can't be merciful to you. But if you will be merciful to them, then my mercy will pour out on you in ways that you can't even contain it. So don't close it off by holding on to hurts that you just can't let go. So I want to ask you to bow your heads in prayer. If you're here today and you would say, One of the things I need first and foremost is the mercy of God. I've never even fully received mercy from God to be in relationship with God. I feel unforgiven. I feel unworthy. I feel like I could never deserve or repay God's ability to love me. But I hear what you're saying, and if he's giving that for free, then I want it. If that's you, I just want to ask you to slip up a hand. I want to pray with you this morning. Thank you. Yeah, a few of us. Maybe you're here today, and as I'm sharing, there's a name and or a face of someone you know is your greatest struggle to be merciful to. But the Holy Spirit's just challenging you right now. It says, yes, even them. Even them. I'm asking you to be merciful to them. But you know you can't do that on your own. You're going to need God's help to do that. If that's you, would you slip up a hand? I want to pray with you this morning. Yeah, quite a few of us across the room. It's going to take a lot for me to show mercy to that person. But I want to believe that God can do it. Anybody else? Thank you. Yeah. Listen, I want to pray with those who raised their hand and said, I just first and foremost want to receive the mercy of God for my own life because I struggle to feel forgiven, or I struggle to feel worthy, or I struggle to feel like God could ever forgive me. Please hear me. The next step in that may be forgiving and loving and giving kindness to others so that you can open that conduit up for yourself. But if you raised your hand or if you didn't, will you pray this with me? Lord Jesus, you can pray it out loud. Lord Jesus, I know that I need your love and I need your mercy and I don't deserve it and I can't repay it, but I invite it into my life. Save me from myself. Be my Savior and fill me with your mercy. In Jesus' name.